Do you recognize the anointing? Or the anointing is here. There's so many different ways that we say, boy, that was an anointed sermon, or that was just an anointed moment, or they're full of the anointing. How many of you really, really, really understand what that word really means? I mean, come on, let's be honest. It's used so many different ways. We have an idea of how people use the word, but do we really understand what God has communicated to us through the prophets and through the disciples of what the anointing really is? Now, we've gone through and we've studied the Holy Spirit the last 3 or 4 months. And so we understand that the triunity of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is our empowerment, that the Holy Spirit lives and moves and has His being spiritually by His Spirit within us when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But what we want to study over the next few months is now what the Bible terms as the anointing and how the Holy Spirit is connected or not connected to that as we study. So be patient as we study through this. Use your Bibles. Check on everything that I say to you, of course. Look at your Bibles and stuff. But I'm praying in an exciting moment that at the end of this, you're going to understand that it's all about a release. It's about releasing the power that exists and moves and has its being within you. And that at the end of this, I'll tell you, you're just going to be out there and you're going to have a whole new purpose in life, a whole new spiritual purpose on your agenda, and priorities will begin to switch for you, and we'll begin living the New Testament life that God wanted us to live instead of how we've morphed into the society that we've morphed into now. So let's just pray that God communicates to you, as He has through me preparing these messages, that the anointing is in you and needs to be released. So let's pray. Father, I just thank You for the Word and for teaching and for the gifts of God that we've experienced today with our testimonies and with songs and psalms and hymns. I thank You, Lord, for the power of prayer and that You still move through prayer, and that is how You've chosen to move on this earth, through the prayers of the righteous. So, Lord, we just gather together as a community of believers looking for You to teach us today and not Scott Mills, Lord. And I ask You to convey the message of the anointing over these next several months, Father, through the powerful work of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Can I get a little light there, Eric? All right. The Bible talks about a divine anointing. And it really communicates to us that we are to obtain it and we are to develop it. So that means the anointing isn't just this little stationary thing inside of you that's fully capable of going at Mach speed. The anointing is something that we receive from God, that we obtain from God, and that we have the ability to develop it. Much like you have the ability to develop your physical muscles when you go into the physical gym, you have the ability, folks, to really strengthen and build spiritual muscle. Paul used the terms milk, right? Some of you are babies, still sucking on the milk, right? And then he says, but you really need meat. You're ready for meat. And he says, it's the meat that really develops, that really goes further in the spirit realm to be able to get those things done, where we start thinking to ourselves, wow, they're anointed. No, you're anointed too. But you're recognizing a greater development, if you will, a different level of anointing. So we're looking to obtain and develop this anointing under, and the Bible talks about it here, under strong apostolic leadership. What does that mean? The church. You're to go into the gym, and you have instructors. God has set forth in the church first apostles, secondary prophets, right? Pastors, teachers, and evangelists. What are the fivefold ministry for? These are strong giftings that Jesus Christ has given freely to us spiritually when the Holy Spirit comes to live in these people who are under the direction of the Holy Spirit to actually teach and preach and evangelize and oversee and speak forth from God. Those are the five things. In an anointed, which we'll talk about here in a minute, way. And so we understand that when you submit yourself and walk through those double doors, you better darn well look at the church you're in. What are you there for? Are you there to just listen to music or sit back and get uninvolved or want to hear a charismatic preacher, teacher teach the word? Or were you there to submit yourself unto God underneath this fivefold ministry that says, Lord, I want the best brought out of me. I want to go forth in the spirit realm and become all I can be for Christ. Because I realize that I wasn't put on this planet for my own little kingdom and my pleasure. I was put on this planet for your pleasure, and I have a spiritual purpose. So when you walk through here and sit down, you ought to be examining Scripture. You ought to be praying. You ought to be praying that God will communicate through you this apostolic leadership to raise you up in the way that you should go. Because that's the job of the fivefold ministry and the church, is to equip the saints, that's you, for works of service. What does that mean, works of service? Well, you're not God's bellhop, but you are sons and daughters who live in the house, and you have, and you should have, divine direction from your Father to do certain things in life. Amen. And that's what we're here to do. I pray it's what you're here to do. So you're to obtain and develop under the strong apostolic leadership. So you don't want to go to a church where there's weak leadership. I'm really, really fortunate to be blessed with men of God that are elders in this church and giftings of God which exist amongst all of you that I could define as a meat-eating church. We're not a seeker-oriented church. We're not one where you come in and everything's tolerated and we, you know, water down the word. We're a place where you come and when you eat, you better be getting full. And then you better have a way of exercising it off. Or all you'll be in this house is nothing but fat and sassy and worthless and good for nothing. I hate to say it that way, but right? What you take in, you should be bringing back out. You should be a channel. God says we're vehicles. We're those instruments that He has that need to be played. Because if you're not played and you're just coming in and it's just for you, you probably shouldn't be here. Because that's not what we teach, and hopefully it's not what we preach. So this holy anointing, see, this apostolic leadership is the church. This holy anointing empowers us for greater and more effective ministry. The anointing is for greater and more effectual, how impactful you are, type of ministry. There are three basic New Testament words for to anoint. Now we're going to get into some teaching, okay? So not a lot of preaching over the next few weeks. We're going to do some teaching. To anoint, three basic New Testament words. Creo, alipho, and merizo. What does that mean, Pastor? You're talking in tongues. I am, because it's Greek. So you're getting some tongues here, okay? Creo, alipho, merizo. Alipho is the word used for anointing the sick. Remember when we read in the Bible about anointing the sick? Anoint them with oil, the prayer of the righteous will, right? Everybody recognizing that? So the alipho is anointing the sick, and it means to rub olive oil on. So there's two meanings to it. It means to anoint the sick, alipho is, and or to rub olive oil on. It actually means to soothe or refresh one's body. Some of you do that all the time. Think about it. You rub olive oil. There's different essential oils that we rub on our body. It was medicinal back in the Old Testament because that's all they had. They didn't have the CAT scans and MRIs and all the kind of meds we have today. They had medicinal oils, though, and they used them. And one of them was olive oil. And they used it as a soothing the body type of lotion. Okay? And they used it, obviously, if you were sick, what would feel good to your body? Some of you, when you're sick, you get into that bathtub, you lay back, you get out, and you have somebody what? You're married, of course. So they'll be rubbing. And if you don't, then, you know, you maybe get a brother or sister to come over and rub that oil on, you know. But the bottom line is that we sometimes super spiritualize this, but these scriptures are a little bit more close to home than we think. It literally means to anoint the sick and to rub olive oil on. The Hebrew word of alipho is yasab. And we're going to look how it's used in Scripture. James 5:14. Most of you know this one. Is anyone among you sick? He must call for the elders of the church, and they're to pray over him. That's the first thing we do in any situation that you're in life, no matter what need you have. Who are you going to do? Who are you going to call? Ghostbusters? No. You want spiritual support, because God is greater than any circumstance you're in. And He's anointed people, which we'll learn about in a minute, to be used here, doctors and nurses and such, who we think, you know, wow, we go to God for it. Well, doctors and nurses can be used of God mightily. Is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they're to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name or the character or the nature of the Lord. Wow, okay? Mark 6:13. And they were casting out many demons and were anointing with oil many sick people and healing them. Let's go to the Old Testament, Ruth 3:3. So that you see the word here that we talked about? Yasab. Same derivative of the New Testament word, alipho, what we just talked about. Same word here. Wash yourself, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your best clothes, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. So Ruth was being told to anoint herself and put on her best clothes. And then finally, 2 Samuel 12:20. I'm giving you just some examples. So David arose from the ground, washed, anointed himself, put those beautiful oils on after you get out of the bathtub, right? And he came into the house of the Lord and worshiped. And he came to his own house, and when he requested, they set food before him, and he ate. Can you see kind of how he's using this word alipho? When he's anointing the sick, when you're weary and you're needing refreshment, and you get changed and you take a bath and you get out and you rub these oils on, and when someone's sick, you're praying over them, and at the same time, you're rubbing oil on them. There's a twofold purpose here that I want you to see. The idea expressed in Scripture is what both faith-filled prayer and what I would venture to classify as soothing medical intervention. Because you got to remember, back then, they didn't have what we got, like I already talked about. Oils were used medicinally. In their day, again, it was the use of oil. And again, some of you still do that today. Now, the second use of the word is marizo in Scripture. When we're talking about anointing now, right? Marizo means to apply perfume, myrrh, oil, or ointment for death or burial. When someone was going to be buried, today we embalm people, right? They applied oil when they were to be buried. Mark 14:8. Remember the woman who came to Jesus? The alabaster? Remember? She has done what she could. She has anointed my body. Jesus said she took the perfume. She took the oil or the perfume or whatever, the myrrh or whatever was in there, and she has anointed my body beforehand for the burial. So when you see marizo, someone's grabbing that oil and they're rubbing it on you because you're getting ready to die. Or have died. If you're using the word alipho, it's because you're sick and you've called the elders or you've called some people, spiritual people. Don't even have to be elders, I believe anybody who knows the Lord can pray with you and for you spiritually first and foremost. And then at the same time, what I believe he's saying is, yeah, call for the elders and pray for the healing, but at the same time, with whatever means you've got, rub that oil on. Bring relief. Bring soothing to this sick person. Refresh them with your prayers and with the ability that God has placed within you to nurture that person. So we see two uses of the word anointing in the Scripture. That's it for those two words. You study them, you do what you want with them. For the course that you're taking right now here and what we're going to do to study, we're going to concentrate on this third word for anointing, because that's what we've been studying with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I think this is the most important. And again, this is the word krio. I just mentioned. This third word has a spiritual meaning, to anoint. Obviously, in the first two, they're literally oils that you rub on. Well, this third word is not only that physical oil, but it has a deeper spiritual meaning that God conveys to us through the Scriptures. This actually means to smear. The actual literal meaning means to smear or rub with oil for the spiritual purpose of consecrating, what does that mean? Dedicating, if you will, someone exclusively to God for an office or ministry. Wow, they've got the anointing. Whoa, is that person anointed? You start hearing that word and you start thinking, what are they talking about? You are smearing or rubbing with oil for the spiritual purpose of dedicating, consecrating someone exclusively for God, to God, for an office, for a function. Or a ministry, not just the fivefold ministry that I just told you about that are here to help you learn, but any ministry that you guys take part of, whether it's administrations, helps, right? All kinds of ministries that you're involved in, music, whatever it may be. When you're set aside exclusively for God and you know that your purpose is for God and God alone and this is what you're doing it for and you've submitted yourself and yielded to the Holy Spirit and said, Holy Spirit, use me, and you've been set aside, that's called being holy. Now you're going to be just used just for God. God has the ability to move through you, and people will go, wow, that is an anointed person. That is a set apart, consecrated, dedicated, full of the Holy Ghost, rip-roaring spiritual person. They're anointed. They're consecrated. They've yielded. They've said to God, here I am, Lord, use me. For the spiritual purpose. Rub me, smear me, elders, with that oil up there to set me apart as a physical sign. Many times in the Bible, there were physical signs for a spiritual purpose, right? Just demonstrating something. Jesus used parables with a seed to tell you that it's the Word of God. Come on, we see it all the time. Smear that person, dedicate them, set them apart for God, and say, now you've been filled with the Holy Ghost. Release the anointing. Release the power that lies within you. Function. Do specifically what God has called you to do. That's the anointing that he's talking about with the word creo. Again, not a physical anointing like a lipho and merizo we just talked about. It's symbolical and spiritual. Now, creo has a noun to it. What do I mean by that? Every word, adjective, nouns, come on, we'll get back into English. The noun to creo is charisma, not charisma. We know that charisma is what? The Holy Spirit giftings that are within you, charisma, charismatic. A charismatic pastor is one who's functioning in the gifts, you know, and healing and miracles and all that kind of stuff. And you say, boy, that's a charismatic church. They're a little goofy out there. They're laying hands on the sick and they're getting healed and stuff. And we don't believe in that, so that's charismatic. Well, the word charisma is actually the Holy Ghost operating in you, which some people are fearful of. But the word charisma is this word for anointing, and it derives its meaning from the Hebrew root word mashach. Why am I using these terms? Because you're going to see why. Because you're going to see the English words and go, oh, light bulb goes on. Okay? So creo that Jesus uses in the New Testament is the same word before they had the Greek back then when they were speaking in Hebrew is mashach. Mashach in the Old Testament was used for anointing here and creo in the New Testament. So when we go back to mashach, it means to anoint. Back in the Old Testament, it still meant to anoint, to smear, right? To consecrate or set apart. So it had the same meaning. The noun of mashach is Mashiach. Yeah, I'm going somewhere here. Mashiach, and it means the anointed one. The anointed one, the anointed one, the anointed one. Mashiach. We get our word Messiah. Jesus, Messiah, the anointed one, Messiah, meaning one who has the anointing. Jesus was the Messiah, the anointed one, the one who carried the full anointing of God. Mashiach, creo, the same impartation Jesus puts in you. The same Holy Spirit that came upon Christ in the New Testament is the same Holy Spirit that when you accept Him as Lord and Savior comes upon you. You become the Mashiach. You become the Messiah. Oh, that's blasphemy. Is it? Listen. Listen. The term Messiah wasn't just for Jesus. It applies to all those upon whom the anointing has come. It refers to anybody who has been set, has agreed to yield to the Holy Spirit that says, here I am, Lord, send me. One who's been smeared with oil and set in the church and said, be my prophet. Be my apostle. Do you see that? It is this setting apart, this Mashiach, this Messiah function. So anybody that has been set in the church, in the body, in the kingdom, is therefore ready for a specific function, just as Jesus was. Jesus was sent as the Messiah for the specific function of dying for our sins so that we might have eternal life, right? God had a special function to what? Seek and save the lost and to destroy the works of the devil. He was the Messiah for mankind to be redeemed from the devil. That was his specific function. But folks, you're all little messiahs. You have a specific function in the Lord and a gifting within the Lord that needs to be released, yielded to, just as Jesus yielded to his gift, and he operated in it, and he saved us, and he completed what God has done. What are you completing right now that God has placed you on this earth for? Yes. You are little messiahs with a little M. Folks, there are many messiahs, but Jesus is the Messiah. There are many prophets, but Jesus is the prophet. There are many apostles, but Jesus is the apostle. Do you get that? Yeah. Many can be anointed, but Jesus is the anointed one. This is not rocket science, but it's God communicating to us that just as Jesus came and He did His specific purpose, so every one of us is called to a specific purpose in the Lord and can release the anointing, having been set apart to be released to function in the church. If you're functioning in the gift that God has given you within the church, you're anointed. Now, there's different levels of anointing. As much as you yield to the Holy Spirit, the more we'll get from you. And that's why we say, boy, they're really anointed. All we're saying is, I recognize the gift of God in you, and that person's average, and that person is like above average, and that person's like through the roof. And I think the difference, from my own opinion, between the different levels of anointing is how much you're willing to yield. Amen. The less of you and more of Him, as John would say. Many can be anointed, but Jesus is the anointed one, the number one. Essentially, the anointing is this. It's the releasing of the specific function one has been set in the church to operate in under the influence of the Holy Spirit. The more you're under the influence, the less control you have, and you're entirely and utterly dependent upon Him. Folks, these are examples of some of the functions right now that I'm about to give you of being released within the church for. And I just talked to him about it, and I'm just going to show you in Scripture where it's at. 1 Corinthians 12:28. And God has appointed in the church first apostles. What does the apostle word mean? Sent one. Spiritual oversight that goes out, plants a church, and has spiritual protection over that church and provides spiritual oversight. That's an apostle, a spiritual father, if you will. One who sends forth, is being sent forth to birth something. Second prophets, what are they? Those are ones that get those visions and dreams and hear from God and simply communicate it to you. In the Old Testament, it was usually a rebuke. It was usually a hard word. It was usually something that you know, get off your duff. In the New Testament, we learn that prophets more are for edification and encouragement and trying to just be a little bit more tender sheeply to you. In the Old Testament, we see a huge difference between how God handled the sheep and how He handles them here. In the Old Testament, He sheared them and killed them. In the New Testament, He kind of just puts up with them and carries them. Right? It's just two different dispensations of how God dealt with mankind. I don't fully understand it. One day I'll get to heaven and I'll learn, like you, of why. But right now, He says, because I'm God and you're not. Okay? Apostles, prophets, teachers, you know what teachers are. Miracles, gifts of healings, helps, administrations, yes, tongues. All of these, when you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit, can operate freely. And the more you yield to the Holy Spirit, the greater level of anointing, the greater level of the specific function that you've been called to. Do you get it? The specific function that you've been designed and wired to be and who you are, if you'll just yield and make God number one in your life and start showing up for prayer and start showing up to be trained and start moving in your life spiritually because the end is near, you're going to flow in the anointing and we're going to say, wow, look at the anointing on that person. Boy, I'm rah-rah-reeing you here, folks. You're good gifts to the body. You need to discover those gifts that God's placed within you, yield to them, and start to function. And if I don't let you function in here, then go out those double doors and function out there, which you should be doing anyway. These are functions that are called upon to be released within the church. That's why this is a spiritual stomping ground for you. You're training in here. We're going to give you liberty to body minister to one another, and we're going to do more and more of that this year. Why? Because you're being trained to reign. You are training to be released in your function, and if you can't practice and do it in here, you're never going to do it out there.
That's right.
Obviously, we observe, like I told you, different levels of the anointing or the release, as some seem to do it more effectively than others. I believe, again, it has to do with what we talked about in the yielding, okay? Now, we see in the Bible now, right, creo, the word creo, the New Testament anointing applied to both Jesus and New Testament believers, and we see the word mashach, the Old Testament anointing, applied to kings, priests, and prophets. Why just them? Because remember in the Old Testament, those are the ones where the Holy Spirit would come on certain individuals. In the New Testament, guess what? If you have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you got them. But in the Old Testament, that anointing came upon kings, priests, and prophets. 1 Kings 19:16. It was used by Elijah when God told him to mashach, that means to anoint, smear, and set apart, Nimshi to be king, and Elisha to be a prophet, a king and a prophet. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, he's talking to Elijah, you shall anoint, that means set apart as king over Israel. And Elisha, set him apart, consecrate him, smear him as a physical sign to let him know. And notice that he didn't do that smearing with Elisha. He threw his mantle on him. It doesn't have to be oil. We get so legalistic about these things. The anointing is the anointing. It's spiritual. But it's the oil that just symbolizes it. And you can throw your cloak on somebody and symbolize it that way, like he did with Elisha. And matter of fact, it wasn't Elijah who went and got Nimshi to be king. It was actually Elisha, his student, that went and anointed him to be king. So Elijah didn't even, he wasn't even obedient to that call. But he let Elisha do that. So what am I trying to tell you? Is even in all this teaching, don't get so legalistic that you miss the whole spiritual impact that God's trying to say here. The anointing is simply the setting apart unto me, yielding unto me, and letting me operate through you. You shall anoint him king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, and you shall anoint him as prophet in your place. So the actual physical anointing itself, when used for spiritual purposes, is to mashach, right, or kriyo someone, was not strictly olive oil. And it wasn't. Like it is for alifo and marizo. When we alifo, remember, to when someone's sick, we anoint them with oil and pray for them. Or when someone's dying and we perfume them up so they don't stink, really. Right? Those were physical oils. It was olive oil. But I wanted you to notice something different, which we're going to pick up on next week. All right? For when you actually mashach someone in the Old Testament, or in the New Testament, we kriyo someone, it had a different quality of ingredients in it, the oil I'm talking about, a different quality of ingredients in it that is referred to in Hebrew as the shemen yah. Shemen yah. Shemen meaning oil, yah, Yahweh, meaning God. And God gave the ingredients for that oil. Okay, and we're going to talk about that next week. So we have the olive oil for when we're anointing the sick and when we're burying somebody, and we've got the shemen yah, that consecrated, dedicated, I've prayed over that. Now, it may simply just be oil, and that's all it is on this earth, right? But when we spiritually pray over it, it becomes spiritual. It becomes significant. It becomes dedicated to God, just as you are when you accept Christ in your heart. It's a physical sign of the dedication. It's like, you don't take this lightly. We're splashing oil on everybody in churches today and have no clue as to why we're really doing it. The shemen yah, this oil, as we've said, has a deeper spiritual meaning. Now, we've already discussed this in regards to anointing people, setting them apart for office or gifting or ministry, like we said, right? But it was also used in the Old Testament to anoint what? Vessels used in worship. Why? Because it symbolized cleansing and having been set apart for God's exclusive use. These cups were just for God. This wash basin was just for God. So things can be anointed. Well, how is a gifting going to act through that? When you anoint, you're setting it apart exclusively for God. So for people, you're going to see it in the natural, right? For things, it's just going to be spiritually set apart and exclusively used for God. So there's obedience involved with that. So here we have people being anointed and vessels being anointed for worship. Exodus 29:36. God's exclusive use. Another way of putting it, it's holy. You're anointed. You're holy. You've been set apart. Each day you shall offer a bull as a sin offering for the atonement. And you shall purify the altar when you make atonement for it. And you shall what? Anoint it. Consecrate it. This altar is going to be used for you to repent and ask forgiveness from God from. You're not going to come in here and eat Doritos and drink a Pepsi. We don't want you coming in here having popcorn and us entertaining you and singing songs and smoke coming up from the ground. I shouldn't be doing this. That's fine. If that sets the atmosphere and that's what gets you into your anointing, then we'll bring smoke in and I'll do whatever it takes. Paul said, I became all things to all people, right? But the bottom line is the altar is symbolic. It's just a piece of wood with carpet over it. But when you kneel on it and you go before your God and say, God, here I am, use me. I am divorcing myself from the world and I am exclusively yours. You've been consecrated, you've been dedicated, you've been anointed, and if I rub that oil on you, which I can or cannot do, it doesn't have to be, but God says do it when you're recognizing publicly that this person's got it. That's what we're doing when we smear you with oil. It's a whole lot deeper than what you think you may be doing. Well, I'll just get up there and get anointed with oil so I'll get better. You're not going to get better if you don't spiritually submit on your knees before God. The oil's doing squat for you. All it's going to do is soothe you a little bit, especially if it's rubbed with a little bit of, you know, massage therapists that are out there, right? What do you use when you're doing massage? It's a medium, isn't it? The oil is a medium to take the touch, the therapeutic touch of the individual, to get to your muscles so that that anointing, if you will, that gifting that you've been gifted with and trained in can be administered unto that body. That's what God's doing you through this physical symbolization of rubbing you with oil and then praying spiritually over you. He's saying, I'm coming in, and I'm greater than that disease that's within you. Yes. And I will heal you if you believe that I'm the healer. Exodus 30, 26. With it you shall anoint the tent of meeting and the ark of the testimony. So here's the oil. He's saying, what to do with the oil? Put it on the tent. Put it on the ark. What are we doing when we're anointing people? Setting it apart exclusively for God. When you leave today, my wife always says, leave with one point. The anointing is being set apart exclusively for God, yielding myself and seeing God's power work through me. If that's all you get out of today, that's all I care that you do. But I got 5 minutes left, and you're going to ride the storm out. Exodus 40. 9 and 10. Then you shall take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and all that's in it. And you shall consecrate it and all of its furnishings, and it shall be holy. That means that this tabernacle isn't being used for baseball, football, or any other thing. You're not going to come in here, and you're not going to play tiddlywinks, and you're not going to watch TV. Seriously, you're going in that for one exclusive purpose. When you walk in there, you are asking for forgiveness of your sins. Those priests are going in there. They're washing their hands symbolically. They're going there, going to sacrifice that bull or goat or whatever it is you sin for. And then they're going to go in and they're going to go into the next most holy place or the holy place, right? And where was that? The bread. And what else was there? The prayer, the incense, the prayers of the saints. Right? We're not going to get into all that. And then beyond that curtain was the most holy place, which was the Ark of the Testimony. God said what? Anoint that innermost holy sanctuary and outer, and the whole thing is mine. What does that mean to you? Every part of you is His. Don't you reserve any part for you. Amen. You can't say, I want God and I want to have my cake and eat it too. You can't say, oh, I can just have a little flirtatious behavior over here. I'm married or I'm not married, or I can do this or I can play this or play that or do this. No, if it's against God and if it's doing that, if you're wholly consecrated unto Him, you're His. And if He says, and that Holy Spirit in there goes, I shouldn't do that, you better not do that. Why? Because you're going to lose the blessing. God wants to bless that which He's consecrated. God wants to use that which He's imparted to. He wants to make you up there, but He wants to keep you humble so that as you go down, He goes up. And the further you go down, the further He goes up. He'll work with a humble person. He'll consecrate you. 9 and 10. You shall anoint the altar of burnt offering and all its utensils. Consecrate the altar, and the altar shall be most holy. So you should have an idea of what I'm talking about here. We're taking oil, we're setting people apart. We're taking oil, we're setting utensils apart. We're taking things and saying, you're exclusively God's. And if you come into agreement with it, you're now accountable to God. Are you accountable to me? Yeah, if you're working in this house. But you don't need to be fearing me. What do I mean by fear? Reverence me. You need to be doing it as unto God. When you do your specific function within the body, don't do it to impress the rest of us or just to do your job because you feel you got to do it. Whatever you do as unto the Lord. So that means if you're out in the workplace and nobody's watching and, you know, you have a chance to cheat or to do something that you don't really have to put your full effort into it, you better realize that it's not the eyes that are around you in the physical realm that are really watching you in every move you make. It's God Almighty, and when you do it as unto Him, He'll bless you with the rest of that physical group later. You got to sometime understand that you're a spiritual being first and foremost, and you're just walking around in this sark sack, this physical body. This is just temporary. It ain't going to last. We're going to talk about more use of this oil next week. So how do I wind this up? My challenge to you. Are you prepared to be set apart for God? Let's take a break. Sermon's over. Are you prepared? I want you to think of the word preparation. Are you prepared to be set apart? What does that mean? Are you prepared to divorce yourself from the things of this life? That doesn't mean that you just move out of your house and stop breathing and whatever. Are you prepared that if God says, pick up and go, pack and come and stay, or do this or do that? Are you fully prepared to say, there's nothing else on my agenda, there is nothing else that will interfere with your divine purpose and plan for my life? If you are prepared, that is, are you prepared for an increase in your anointing? Some of you say, I function! I'm the only one functioning. Scott, you need to get me help. We need some more people in this ministry, in that ministry, in this. We're a family. We're all bricks on a wall. This land is your land. You know, it is. This house is your house. I don't pay the bills. I hate to say it. You pay the bills. You pay my salary. You pay for the chairs. You pay for everything that you see. This is God's house and God's land. I'm representing it. But it's you who God has called to flow and function in it and to take care of it and to be a part of it and to flow in ministry through it. Amen. Are you prepared? If not, If you are prepared, are you prepared for an increase in your anointing? Being anointed with oil, I say this, is not some trivial, traditional thing you do on a Sunday. If you're receiving it, you should be either sick, dead, or ready for God to put you on assignment. If you're getting anointed with oil, you'd better be sick, you'd better be dead, or you'd better be ready for God to put you on assignment. For any other reason you're getting that oil, it's strictly for your own pleasure. Sorry, massage therapists out there. And that means yielded and prepared. Well, what do I do, Pastor? Yield. And then take steps of obedience to prepare. Exercise your gift. Learn. If you're going to be a pastor or preacher, you better get under the anointed teacher and get some mentoring done. Get some classes taken. Start putting some stuff in you so it can come back out of you. Right? Preparedness, preparation, being yielded. Those are two keys. So what does yielded and prepared really, really mean? As I close with this, it means being filled with His Word and filled with prayer. It means being dedicated in worship and being other-oriented. It means being undistracted and God is the number one priority in your life. You understand that? Filled with His Word and prayer, dedicated in worship and other-oriented, undistracted, and God is the number one priority in your life. Well, if you do, if you get this, what I'm talking about, I want you to start getting excited. Why? Why should you be excited over this? Think about it. Because when you receive and you begin releasing this anointing, the blind will receive sight, the lame will walk, the lepers will be cleansed, the deaf will hear, the dead will be raised up, and the poor will have the gospel preached to them, just like Jesus. Amen.